Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick, the only podcast that doesn't organize an intro before we press record. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of dead air school to be called Mr. Silence. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's Kelly. Big Whoop. Want to fight about it? Here she is.
I'm here with Jimmy, and Jimmy's got a lot to say.
We haven't really heard much from Jimmy this year. He kind of pops in occasionally.
He's just a little baby today. He did a little vom earlier and now, I don't know, now he's all kind of, he actually came to me when I called him, which is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of went on my lap and he's like leaning up against me for like kiki and cuddles. Or maybe he just wants to watch the original Star Trek because Mum's got the original Star Trek on in the background.
Yeah. So everybody, at this time of year, all podcasters basically bank up like 5 episodes of their best ofs and they go on leave for 2 months. We're not smart enough to do that, so we're going to do our best of episode today. I thought we could just, rather than best of, because I feel like that's very smug, arrogant, to be like, these are the best films of the year, that we could maybe just talk about the things that we liked, our favorite things of the year.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just saying the best, your best though?
No, because best like categorizes as like, this is 100% the best movies of the year, you know, rather than just saying these were my favorites.
So you,
I think
just,
it's a little less aggressive, you know.
So you just want a favorites list in no particular order.
Doesn't have to be in any order. Let's just have a conversation, Kelly.
Okay.
You know? We've lost that spark where we used to just talk to each other. You know what I mean? All we do these days is argue. as gets points pointed out in the comments consistently. These guys argue too much. You don't think that we're playing up for comedic effect, gang? Anyway.
I mean, Damien is a dickhead. Sometimes I feel like I'm patting Jimmy.
Sometimes I feel like I'm patting the Jimmy.
And he like, it's almost like I can hear him do a little soothing growl, like. I can't tell. Always got gas.
That's real good. I really like that. Yeah, scritch scratch on the
front. No, he loves his little scritch scratch, but I'm worried about his little bum. Right, just gonna stay inside, Jimmy, because it's 117 degrees outside. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, global warming, baby. Go stay inside.
Global warning.
Warning or warming?
Well, both. What did you get into this year, Kel? There's the first yawn of the episode.
Ugh, I can't help it.
3 minutes in.
Oh, God. I
like to take it that you get so, that you're very comfortable, you know?
Yeah,
so
I don't know. I feel like I'm having a stroke, yawning so much more these days. I mean, there's so much to talk about this year. Mm-hmm. I think, what's the bad, good, the Emma Stone movie? Poor Things.
Poor Things, yeah.
That came out this year. That was really good. Really good, but also I couldn't stop thinking about it. Those are the films where I, you know, where you just go, fuck, it bothered me. That film really bothered me, but it was a masterpiece.
I have our list of episodes here that might help jog our memories a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we kicked off, maybe we'll go through each month. Kicked off January, we had Chappelle and Gervais drop their masterful, their masterclasses, I would say, in stand-up comedy.
And you know what's interesting is that
The Dreamer and Armageddon. And I mean, I don't think we got any further than 6 minutes of either of them.
No, they were really bad. And I think my algorithms picked up on it because they keep on showing me highlights from Tina Fey and Amy Schumer, like hosting stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I think of Ricky doing it. And tomorrow night is the Golden Globes and Nikki Glaser's hosting, which I'm really keen to see.
Hmm.
My prediction is that it's going to be really funny,
mm-hmm.
joke heavy, but she's going to take it too far because her like the way that she burns people in the roast is fucking brilliant.
Mm.
And I feel like in a room full of those fucking stupid rich sissies, they're going to be like, no, don't remind us about Harvey. Don't remind us. What do you have to talk about that for? Don't talk about Epstein. And it's just like, ugh. You know what I mean? And she'll go there, which is great. And it's good because she's a stand-up comedian, and even if someone tries to cancel her, she'll be fine because she'll still can make money going on the road.
There's no such thing as cancellation. No one's been cancelled. All the people that get pointed out as being cancelled, they're still fucking doing shit.
I think the only person
Aziz Ansari is still doing national tours. Louis C.K. is fucking really bigger than ever.
He was just a bit of a creep.
Well, I'm just saying, these are people who have been cancelled and they haven't been cancelled. They're just not in Hollywood movies
anymore. The only person I feel like who got cancelled was that Armie Hammer.
Yeah, he fucking ate a person.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He ate a whole human being.
Like, he was married, and I think his wife was probably even pregnant, and he was chatting with people, other ladies, or one lady, whoever, and they were talking dirty over text, and he was like, I want to eat you. I want to eat you alive. You know, like, it's, you know, like, it was sex talking it. I saw a thing with him where he was like, I'm selling my truck because he has to sell his car. However, in saying that, though, I heard on the grapevine he came from a really rich family, so another one. I don't know how much of that to believe, but yeah, if you fucking mate, if you get cancelled, just wait a year, you'll be fine. Like, there's plenty of fucking comedians in the Australian industry that have been fucking spoken to on more than 7 occasions. And they, you know, and they're like, all right, I'll do better. And then they don't do better and they're still fucking fine. So
yeah.
What's the point?
Everyone's the worst.
What also, is the fucking point?
January was a rough month for us. We also had to watch Saltburn.
Fuck, that was January. Fuck Saltburn. What a terrible film.
We...
Wankers. Yeah. That's every time someone goes Saltburn, I go, wanker.
Yeah. Truly a terrible film. I am still
but
like,
thinks it's the best.
I watched a lot of like this year was great for me. I watched a fuck ton more movies than I do usually. I think I got somewhere up towards 50-60 movies for the year, which when you're working fucking 60 hours a week and stuff, I think it's a real effort. And the podcast helps with that. And I would have Saltburn in the bottom five. I mean, I truly had a terrible time watching it. And it's not like I went in to the film with a preconceived notion of what it was. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, well, people seem to enjoy this. So, and it's meant to be like pushing boundaries. Mm.
Yeah.
But none of that bothered me. I don't care. You think I haven't seen a fucking guy slurp up cum before? Like, who cares? Mm. You know what I mean? Or a guy fucking a grave? None of this, like, it just feels like a 12-year-old trying to come up with stuff that's going to gross people out, you know. Yeah, and then he fucks a dead man's grave.
And then.
Well, that was the storytelling, right? And then this happened, and then. Anyway. Yeah.
Hmm.
Not good. The Marvels we also watched in January.
That's good. I like The Marvels. I think it didn't get enough credit. I thought it was good. Good movie.
And then we watched a whole bunch of TV, Masters of the Air, True Detective, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Hey, I finished True Detective.
Did you?
Yep, Jodie Foster one.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. It's got a really nice mix of obviously a murder has happened
and it's, you know, small town, blah, blah, blah. But there is a very small element to it, which is supernatural, which is, if it exists, are we doing a spoiler?
Yeah.
I really liked it. Once I got through, one or two episodes, True Detective, it's actually really fucking great watching Jodie Foster. There's some actors that everything they're in, I'm just like, oh, I feel so safe. I trust you.
Hmm.
Jodie Foster's one. Michael Douglas is another one.
Hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes, like, you can go down your kind of Sally Fields or Richard Gere or whatever, but there's just a real safeness in there. You know, like, you have yours as well, where it's like every Donald Sutherland, mate, everything Donald is just, you know? Anyway, so.
Yeah, everybody has those actors. Like, you know, if even, well, I would have said up until 15 years ago, Robert De Niro. But even like Al Pacino. Martin Short. Yeah.
Even if it's bad, I trust him.
Al Pacino, I will still, whatever he's in, I will still watch because it's Al Pacino.
Even Panera.
And he's always going to make interesting choices, right? Yeah. Like always.
Because he was a really good Shylock in The Merchant of Venice.
Mate, he's.
Can we just watch it real quick?
It's phenomenal.
He's fucking to bait fish without, if it will feed nothing else, it will feed my revenge speech. Is, you know, that famous one, the villainy you teach me, I shall execute, but it shall go hard and I will bet the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. And he really plays a snivelling, like Shylock. That's where that saying comes from, you know. Like, it was a Jew character who, Jewish, Jew sounds harsh.
Yeah.
Jewish character. Yeah,
Jewish.
In a Shakespeare play, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, True Detective is great. There's like they find 8 men frozen to death together, and their faces are petrified, and it's so they have to like dig them out, and the only way for them to hang, because they can't get the coroner in for until a certain amount of time, so they have to keep them in the ice rink, so they still stay frozen but thaw out, you know, and then just trying to that small town, the funniness. There's also a kind of a funniness about it, and then the relationships that have broken down, and da da da. Like, I felt like it didn't search. I felt like it didn't. There wasn't any parts of the storyline, the subplots, where I felt, oh, they just forced that in there because we had to, like, you know, tie up this loose end. You know, when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, like every single, like, you know, this young kid who's a pizza guy who came and saw this person, like everything ties up and. Her partner, the supernatural element is that the partner is Native. Would you still say Native Americans for Alaskan people? Or is that more an Inuit kind of?
Well, it depends on whether they're Inuit or Native American. But
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's more because it's so.
It's okay. No one's going to nail you to the wall.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
You're trying to do the right thing.
It seems like more. No, I think it's more Inuit because it's all about the tattoos on the face,
right?
You know, on the chin and stuff.
Yeah,
and there's this element of that policeman has that background, and there's, you know, a young girl who wants to be more. She's half it and wants to be more it, and the parents are like, "Don't tattoo your face. You can't get a job." Like,
yeah,
people look at you anyway. Just there seems to be a lot of this person, that Irish, the English actress is in it from Killing Eve. Fiona Shaw,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah,
and she's great. Has this really weird side character. Basically, the supernatural element is that this policeman needs to get in touch with their true kind of calling of their native indigenous background, and there is an element of that indigenous background which can see things. And the thing that they see, and this is, oh, man, it's really good. The thing she sees is dead people, which she doesn't even know it.
Right.
Which is, but it all goes back to, like, the whole season, it's about a mistake that was made. And the mistake that was made was by her in a moment where she saw a dead guy and shot someone. You know, and so she has to like go, she has to like go on these like, you know, walk, like walkabouts kind of thing. And it's really great. I felt like they did this slight, because it wasn't in your face. It was all of a sudden you were like, what is that? Like there was something happening to her where she didn't even know what it was. And then that, yeah, the Fiona Shaw character, and people were like, but then it's actually like the thing that why the men are in the eyes is not supernatural. It's man, it's a man, it's a dude thing.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Basically, there was all these dudes up in a like Arctic area studying scientists, and they accidentally killed a woman.
Right.
By accident. Someone, whatever. And they hit it. And the story is, how did the men get into the snow like that? It's because, and it, this is after so much of like everything going on. Remember they had the cave where there was something? So basically that girl in the cave, like that was, she was dead. Anyway, all the men were, they found out, how did they get out there? They found out that it was all the cleaners. So all the cleaners for this like science lab found out about it.
Right.
And they're all like older women, Hispanic, immigrant women. And they found out about it, and then they got together and fucking like dragged the men out into the ice and made them freeze to death as payback for killing the girl and hiding it. Like it was like, when they put everything together, they were like, hang on, who was out there? Who would have seen things? Who had access? And it was like these like little nunos, like, ¿qué? ¿Qué? ¿Qué pasa? And all these nunos. And then they were like it was so brilliant when it happened, and the cops would, and they were like, arrest us if you want. And then cops didn't do anything. It was fucking great. I forgot how good it was. Sorry, I'll stop talking now. You go.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking through here. Poor Things I loved. Roadhouse I loved. I told everybody for like 2 months that they should watch Roadhouse.
It's fun.
And my boss's boss actually, like the day before she went on leave, was like, hey, I finally watched Roadhouse.
It stinks.
And she was like, it's so bad. And I'm like, yeah, but it's great. And she was like, I mean, it was fun, but it's really, really bad. And I'm like, yeah, I never said it was good. I never said this is high cinema. I think the films I enjoyed the most, or that I think were really good this year, The Iron Claw, I really loved. Wrestling is hard to... Well, I actually think wrestling, the thing itself, is quite cinematic. But to try and find stories that aren't filled with awful people and tell a story, like they, you know, the Von Erich boys are all pretty tragic characters, but were victims of their dad's awful behavior. And so really good story to pick, to tell, and to see these kind of wrestling stories, you know, for something that I love so much, it is absolutely surrounded by awfulness and awful people and awful stories and drug addiction, steroid use, domestic abuse, murder. Like there's so much, like especially, I mean, the last 10-15 years that's probably disappeared from the thing completely, but I just thought it was a really well-made film. Zac Efron was really good in it.
He's great. He's got a real glow up, hasn't he?
Yeah, our boy from, well, he doesn't look great. He unfortunately looked like a dude who'd had a lot of plastic surgery, but it kind of,
you know, he broke his jaw.
It kind of, well, that's what he says. They it kind of works in this film because he's a wrestler who's been beaten up a bit. What's his name? J. Allen White from The Bear.
Yeah, Gene Wilder.
He was in it as well and was fantastic. The whole cast in that film were great. Kneecap, which we only did 2 weeks ago, that just scraped in. That's my film of the year. I fucking loved it.
Really?
Yeah, by a long way. Loved it. It's the first film in a really long time that gave me the same feelings as like when I saw Clockwork Orange, when I saw Trainspotting, when I saw, like, I was excited when I left the cinema. And even though, like, last week, shout out to Collar again, we went and saw
oh, you love him.
Anola.
He's your boyfriend.
Which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Man, he is really on the pulse of film, isn't he? Oh, well. He fucking knows what's up. He's not. He's no fucking.
No, no, no. It had already won, and then that's why we were going to see it. So essentially, our friend Collar will try and go and see every single film that's nominated for an Academy Award before the Academy Awards. Mm. Like way more of a film nerd than we are.
Mm.
And I went and saw Enola with him, which is really good film, really interesting film. Walked out of the film thinking that was an excellent film. It was shot beautifully. The acting performances were really interesting. It was an interesting story. But I didn't walk out of it being like, fuck, man, I want to go and make art. Mm. And I felt that way about Kneecap. Not just because of the story lends itself to that, but the film was so unique and interesting and fun and shot. It looked like relatively cheaply, but also sort of ingeniously at parts that you just were like,
mm.
I want to go and create stuff. Poor Things was another one as well. Probably those three. I'm sort of quickly going through our list here to see if there was anything that we both loved.
Just, yeah.
Beetlejuice. No. Gladiator 2 I didn't
Ripley,
hate.
Ripley, remember Ripley?
Ripley you really liked a lot.
Yeah. Andrew, what's his name? Andrew, blah, blah, blah.
I only watched one episode.
Man, you should go back. I'm surprised you haven't gone back and done.
I will, Ripley. Like, you keep bugging me about it, and I will at some point sit down and watch it.
It's a masterpiece. It's a black and white masterpiece. And just the way that you
I really like the book, so I do want to check out.
It's just the way that you talk about what you like in cinema. This has it, and it's so suspenseful. It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, if you look at the list of stuff that we did this year, it looks pretty sparse. I mean, a lot of stuff that's like all, like Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, the last season of Curb. Although the last episode of Curb was really good.
It was really good. After Sun was good. You haven't watched it yet.
You know what was a huge surprise for me that I loved?
Mm.
So much so that I bought the Blu-ray collector's edition of it last week,
mm.
is The Fall Guy.
Mm.
And also noticed a couple of mates who hadn't watched it on the back of my constant recommendation have popped it up on their letterbox, and it both got 4 stars for both friends. So if you haven't watched The Fall Guy, watch it. It's on Amazon Prime, man.
It's really fun.
Especially if you're an Australian film fan, the way that they shoot Australia is a template of how all films should be shot in Australia until the end of time. It doesn't need to be in a desert. We have cities here as well.
Mm.
Interesting things can happen here that don't include horses and drovers and fucking rivers and God knows Rabbit sheep
fences.
And whatever the fuck.
Psychos,
you know what I mean?
In the desert.
Psychos in the desert. If I see one more horror film set in the fucking Gibson Desert, I'm going to lose
no
my mind.
No more Australian films in the outback.
No more. You know what? Let's just have a 5-year break with no films set in the desert. Just none. I mean, we've had 50 years of it. Is there any chance that we could make an Australian film? We had to have an American production come to Australia to be like, hey, man, you know, you could just set normal movies here.
It was quirky.
Here. Yeah, you could just make an action comedy here. It doesn't have to be a 4-hour drama about...
You should watch After Sun.
I don't know what that is.
After Sun is what I did a few weeks ago with the guy from Gladiator in it.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to check that out. Yeah.
I think that's a film that you'll
I like
go...
Paul Mescal a lot. He's probably an actor that's like appeared, has sort of like bolted into my consciousness this year of like, oh, fuck, this guy's really good and is going to play Paul McCartney.
The
Beatles films that don't come out for another fucking 3 years.
What's your highlight of the year, like, in all of this?
Like, as far as my favorite episode?
I'll start. My favorite moment is when I started rewatching all the Sex and the Cities. you know, and it takes, like, weeks. You know, you just kind of watch an episode while you're working or watch an episode at dinner and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And Damien started watching Sex and City, just a little bits and pieces. And he's like, I like Samantha, blah, blah, blah. And he had such a raging hatred for Kerry. Wait, let me finish. Okay. And I'm like, because of the way she behaves and stuff. And I'm like, mate, we haven't even got to the end of season 3 when she cheats on Aiden with Big. Like, it's crazy. But there was one moment where she starts talking to Big again or something happens. And I didn't even realize he was watching it. I just hear him go, No, what are you doing? Don't talk to Big again, Carrie, you idiot. And I just thought, man, it's been 20 years since that show finished, but it transcends time that he was yelling at the TV in the exact way we all have been yelling at the TV. And that's, but that's how I explained. I was like, that's why Sex and the City was so good, because she was full of flaws and she was, you know, she was great, but then she also was kind of a cunt sometimes and she had to get called out on it. And there's some brilliant acting in some of the arguments that, she, you know, she has a really good argument with Miranda in season three, another one in five with Samantha, you know, like they're not flawless characters, which is why I felt it always quite relatable.
Yeah.
But yeah, you hate – but what I'm saying is
– I didn't hate her.
A lot of people disliked Kerry because they were like, she's so fucking selfish.
She's just a child. She's just very, very childish. I think watching it as a 45-year-old, especially towards the end of the show where it's like – I kept saying, like, how old are these people again? You're like, I don't know, late 30s. I was like, ugh, grow up. And there's like – I really liked Miranda because she's that character in the show where she's like, no, I can't fucking handle this anymore, Carrie. You're a child.
I mean it, Carrie. No more phone calls. No more crying. I'm done.
Off the back of that, there was a moment in Japan where in our hotel in Tokyo, we had like a few free movies on the – there was like a direct-to-hotel room movie service on their TV that had like 10 movies on it. And one afternoon after we'd been walking around, you know, as you do in Japan, you'd walked like 25,000 fucking steps already and it was only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we both like laid down on the bed and I – well, actually, the night before I'd watched the first half an hour of Avatar The Way of Water and I was like really – I was really like, fucking James Cameron, God, he's so overrated. These films suck, blah, blah. And then the next afternoon, me being a completist, I just was like, oh, I'll just stick it on, watch the rest of it. And then ended up watching, like, the whole film. And by the end of the film, I was, like, making very begrudging, like, I'm like, this film's kind of got me in. This got me in. And then by the next day when I was talking to you about it, I was like, I actually really liked Avatar Way of Water. I think, I mean, it. The special effect, I mean, people talk about the special effects. I don't know whether we were watching it on a shitty TV or whatever, but it didn't look particularly good to me. But anyway, that was kind of just like a surprise moment.
You hear that, James Cameron?
Well, you hear that? It didn't, sorry.
Didn't look that good, dickhead.
It didn't. It didn't. You spent 7 years making it. It didn't look that good. But yeah, I suppose the other surprise moment was watching Dexter New Blood, which is a few years old now, but I was catching up on it. And not only did it remind me of what I loved about the original Dexter series, and again, Dexter seems to be one of these shows now. I've noticed a lot of people doing the same thing with Breaking Bad, of being like, eh, these shows aren't that good. But meanwhile, everyone will suck the balls of fucking The Sopranos. Well, if The Sopranos
it's the best show that was ever made.
It is not. The acting is bad. It's shot terribly. God. It fucking the writing is awful.
You need to be fucking anyway, lynched for that comment.
It's fucking true.
It's the one of the
anyway,
best shows.
Anyway, it was nice to reacquaint. For me, I loved Dexter so much. It's such a weird little show, and I think Michael C. Hall is brilliant in it. And it's really nice to see. It was nice to see him again. But what was really, really satisfying was the ending. The show, and it's a shame that not many people would have watched it. It should have happened the first time around. But the fact that they gave the show the send-off that it deserved and wrapped it up in like, Dexter needed to die, you know? Like Dexter needed to die for that show to be a classic. And they tried to bring it back and do that. And if you haven't watched New Blood and you're interested in watching it, I would advise that you do, because it's a lot of fun.
Listen, I rewatch The Sopranos. I probably do it every 6 months because every time I rewatch it, I discover new things. There's new things in the background, new jokes, and there's also new layers about relationships, and I see things differently. Like there's like an amazing scene that I just didn't realize where Soprano's talking to his uncle Corrado. And it was before the shooting, but, like, after they planned to kill him, you know, Tony. and they're sitting on the couch and he says to Corrado, they're watching TV, and he says Corrado starts like losing his mind a bit. And Tony's like, don't you love me? And it fucking broke my heart because I saw it in this other way of, and Corrado's just watching the TV and he's like, look at the birds, they're migrating, like they're watching some nature show. And you can tell Corrado just couldn't tell him, couldn't say it. Like just this fucking macho man and old school Italian couldn't say it. And he's like, you could tell his eyes are welling up and his chin's quivering. And Tony's just like, why don't you love me? And I never felt that from that scene before. It was fucking beautiful. It's incredible. Man, if I had my time again with you when we first started dating, I would have made you start watching The Sopranos with me. Because I feel like because everyone talks about how good it is, that's why you reject it. And I feel like if you actually did watch it, like watch, say, first three seasons, you know, right until when, you know, they deal with Pussy Bonbonsera, then I feel like you would be in. Because you're a writer and the writing is fantastic.
But I don't know. I feel like it was a pretty light on year for stuff this year. Like,
there's nothing that I loved. Nothing. I didn't love anything. Like, I really thought Poor Things was great. Wicked was great. After Sun was great. The Celine Dion documentary was great. Atomies of Lies.
Yeah.
The
Gary Coleman documentary we watched was great. Really weird and yeah, interesting. Yeah,
it was great. It was really good.
TV, we kind of... It was an interesting year for TV, right? Because, like, The Bear we've completely fallen off with. Like, we were in love with that show. Yeah. And, like... And I sort of realized watching season three, it really does induce, especially the first few episodes of season three, and we probably need to just get stuck back into it, but it really induces a feeling of anxiety this season watching it. And I don't know whether it's like having worked in hospo or just that's the show, but it's not enjoying to sit down, you know, after a really stressful day to be like, all right, I'm going to get stressed out for another 25 minutes, you know, like I have to be in the right frame of mind for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Looking back, One Day in Jonestown, that is less stressful to watch.
That was a really interesting documentary. Pretty brutal.
The whole story is fantastic. Like, I never realized the thing about, I mean, I knew it watching this because of last podcast on the left did a, I think, four weeks of it.
Yeah, yeah.
About the senator getting shot. Like, that whole story, it's not just like it's a cult and they all, you know, drank the Kool-Aid and died. No, it was like it went on and the senator went in, tried to say people were trying to leave, and then live on TV, trying to leave, gets shot, like crazy stuff. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire wasn't great. I mean, wasn't bad. I liked it. Curb was great. Probably Curb.
The last episode. I think we're rewriting history a little bit because the last two episodes of that season were brilliant.
Mm.
I think the season itself was fine. Like, it was okay. Like, it was fine. I don't remember. Like, I remember being like, yeah, this is fine. And then
maybe I need to rewatch it and just get into it.
When Jerry appeared, it really hit its stride.
But you know what I
love? Which
loved?
Was interesting because we were going through a real, like, anti-Jerry.
But then also, we have time. Started watching, like, an episode of Seinfeld here and there at dinner time. And it's great. Like, season two.
Yeah,
you
Seinfeld's
fantastic. Superb. But the last episode of Curb deserves an honorable mention. Because they did so spoiler alert, the last episode of Curb is they do exactly what they did at Seinfeld, where they brought all the characters back in a court scene to like get the, you know, get Larry's, you know, character and stuff like that. I think that is such a fucking funny tongue in cheek because Seinfeld got so much shit for how he ended Seinfeld and they said, let's fucking do it again and piss everyone off. Isn't that brilliant? I think that deserves its own fucking Emmy just for deciding to fucking piss people off again.
But that's why Larry has always been great.
Yeah, it's great.
That his first instinct is to do what he wants and not what the audience might want. Yeah. And so therefore he creates good art. There's a clip of David Bowie's that shows up on my social media algorithms like basically every day where he basically says the minute that you are writing to or for an audience is the moment that your work will suffer.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to always be just in that little bit of water where your feet can't quite touch the ground, where it's a little bit dangerous, and that's when you're making the best art you can. And I think that's what Larry was doing here. Because what's, you know, like what would be the most annoying thing? There was a part of me that kind of wished that he had gone through with doing the exact same ending. I mean, it was nice to see him and Jerry walk off into the sunset together, but
it was just such a fucking sarcastic, like, fuck you assholes, yeah, fuck you know?
You don't
like,
know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, it's good.
I've written two of the best sitcoms of all time. I think I know what I'm fucking doing here.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I always, you know, in the when you sit back and look at everything, like, it's nice to see how much we've watched together and talked about stuff, and you know that's really cool. But yeah, I'm the same, bub. It's been a pretty lean year, especially from TV. I kind of got to the point with TV where I'm like, I don't think I'm going to watch much TV anymore.
You know what this is, though? This is the
all sucks.
But this is the result of the writer's strike, because the writer's strike that was more COVID now. Because nothing really could be made during COVID 2021. So now, do you know what I mean? That's the stuff that should have been coming out this year.
I don't know, man. It feels like a lot of stuff's been written by AI. It just comes across as shitty and I don't know. There's something about the streaming TV shows that are too long. They're not edited. I find the acting is pretty poor most of the time.
Yeah, I can't even think about...
The concepts are bad. It's usually like a spin-off of a movie or like something that's been done 1,000 times before.
Like rewatching the episode Forks of The Bear, I cried. I felt
the
things.
The Bear is the exception to the rule.
No, but this is what I'm saying. It's like I felt things. Where are those shows... Like, Where are those shows?
Not many. They're not there, right? And I hear this from podcasts I listen to, people who work in the industry. The legitimately concerns are that they want to make TV shows that are second screenable. So you have to constantly recap stuff all the time. You need to spoon feed information to people because they know the vast majority of their audience are going to be on their phone while they're watching it. It means that the art suffers for that because they are creating, they're not creating art, they're creating content for their audience. And the older I get and the more I get involved in a critical thinking of the art that I consume, the more I reject these kind of things because I just, why the fuck would I watch Itchy Bum Bums and the fucking 7 Grand Pianos on Netflix when I could go and watch a Francis Ford Coppola film. I'm starting to see how people get stuck in their ways you know, because, but I've always been someone who's tried to reach out and find new art because I was an artist. I still consider myself an artist. So I want to see what people are doing. But I think on streaming services, there's so much. And so much of it is bad, it becomes this daunting thing of like, I'm not watching 15 shitty TV shows. And then you get told by friends like, oh, it picks up by the 8th episode, you know. And you're like, I'm not watching 8 hours of TV to watch. So we're going to watch like 8 bad episodes of TV to watch 2 good episodes of TV. That's not, you know.
Yeah, that's probably why I watch docos because if it's one episode or it's 2 or 3, actually the JonBenet, the most recent JonBenet doco with that was kind of the same people that made the Fernandez brothers one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look back, and I'm pretty sure I've spoken about this on the pod, when you look back at the whole Fernandez thing, they were getting abused by their father, and they snapped and they killed him. Yes, the behavior, it's manslaughter because the behavior afterwards, you know, they're spending money, blah, blah, blah. They still killed someone, right? Like it wasn't in the heat of passion or something, or they were self-defense, they killed him. But it was years of abuse and no one took it seriously because they were men. No one took sexual abuse because they were men. But it was an incredible documentary. It really opened your eyes where – and then the same people made the JonBenet one and it really – I've been following JonBenet Ramsey for years about what I think happened. I know everything about that case. And I am ashamed to admit that I always thought the mum had something to do with something. And watching that doco and just about how much stuff was silenced, how much was left out, grand jury, prosecution, like there was so much bullshit going on, and I'm ashamed that I was like, yeah, that I even would say, yeah, the mum, yeah, she was covering up the son or whatever. It's not true, man. An intruder came in. It's clear as day. Someone, they were waiting in the house when they went to sleep. They entered the house while they were out for Christmas, and they waited for everyone to go to sleep. They tased a little girl and they abused her and she died. Like, awful, awful. And I was talking to my sister, and because she messaged me, because we always had this thing about JonBenet, the story, and she's like, oh my God, I've just watched it. I was like, dude, I've changed my tune. She goes, I cannot believe I doubted the mum. You know what I mean? The whole story, long story short, the prosecution in LA at the time had just lost the OJ Simpson trial. So there was jobs on the line, reputation. They wanted to fuck with these people. That's the Menendez one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it was still the same vein where, you know, things, they're always trying to, because they lost, the OJ Simpson trial has a lot to answer for. Because every prosecution in America is like, you know, and that's what they were trying to do here. The Steve Thomas, I read that book where he said, you know, it was the mum, she did this. I'm ashamed of it, you know. He wrote this book while the fucking investigation was still happening. How was he allowed to do that? And the book, he absolutely points the finger at her. The police fucked up so poorly, you know. Anyway, but that was actually a really good doco. They're the only things that are actually really making me feel, you know, passionate and like, yeah, Anatomy of Lies. Fantastic.
Yeah, but even then, like, they're too long, you know. Like, I feel like all those documentaries are like, oh, it's a four-part thing. Even that, like, the Jonestown Massacre thing that was like three parts, whatever, could have easily just been an hour and 20-minute film. But that's not the people who are making its fault. I think that's the streamer's fault. I think that's what they order. That's what they want. They want people in their platform for as long as possible. So. But I'm not going to stop bitching about it until it changes. But
what's coming out
this year?
Yeah.
Well, like from a nerd standpoint, the next installment in the Netflix Daredevil show, which is now on Disney Plus, confusing.
Dishonorable mention, fucking Wolverine. Ugh. Deadpool Wolverine?
Yeah, that was weird because like the first time when I watched it in the cinema, I was like, oh, this is fun. And then I watched it at home and was not angry, just a bit bored. I was just like,
so phony.
Anyway, Daredevil is coming out. So the next season of that, or Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, I feel like there's something big coming out.
Superman is coming out in June, the new Superman.
Second part of Wicked.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something else. Well,
anyway. I'm going to try and calm down on. I mean, the Superman trailer dropped it. I was pretty excited about it. Just because it looks like a Superman comic, it looks bright and fun and full of justice and heroes being heroes and stuff. Which I'm excited to see. And I thought James Gunn made the three Guardians of the Galaxy films. They were all really good. He made Peacemaker with John Cena as the star in that, and it was really good as well. He made the second Suicide Squad film, which was fun. Not brilliant, but fun. So I'll be interested to see what he does with Superman. Looks really good.
We better wrap up because it's getting hot in this room. It's 4 degrees hot outside.
Yeah.
We had to turn the AC off because it's too loud. But thanks for listening this year,
We really
appreciate it.
If you like it, we've had a lot of feedback from people, really nice feedback.
Thank you.
We're a very small podcast. We don't do any We don't do any advertising or anything like that. So anyone who's new to the podcast has either stumbled onto us by accident or has been told by someone else. So thank you. I know there was a bit of a gap in the middle of the year that we're probably still struggling to get some people back from because we had our wedding and honeymoon, so we're gone for about 6 weeks. But we're slowly starting to pick that momentum back up again. But if you like our show, you can go on Spotify. This is probably the new place to do it. If you go on Spotify and give us a five-star review, that'll mm-hmm. be great. It gets us. That's pretty much where most people seem to listen to their podcast, or on Apple Podcasts, one of those two platforms. If you do it anywhere else, it doesn't really do anything for us. We appreciate it, but it doesn't get in front of other people. So if you can do that, that would be fantastic. Tell your friends. You know, I know we don't have social media accounts, you can follow me on TikTok at Damien Gibson. I don't know if what's your thing on TikTok, Kelly? At Kelly
Fistuga. I'm Kelly Fistuga and everything, buddy.
Just warning you, you will get a lot of left-wing politics stuff. Anyway.
Mate, you're going to get all, not even left-wing, it's all fucking unionized, fuck the rich, Free Luigi. That's my jam.
If you could tell other people about the podcast, that'd be great. Thank you so much for your support throughout the year. We love doing this. We love you guys. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you very much.
I love you. Bye.